So we want to welcome those who are joining us online at this time to Emmanuel Fellowship, located here in Frisco, Colorado. The theme for the month of December is Peace on Earth. And actually, it's also the name of our Christmas drama that we'll be doing next weekend. And of course, this comes from Luke chapter 2, when the angel announces the good news of the arrival of the Messiah after centuries. And in that declaration to the shepherds, the angel declares that this Messiah will bring peace on earth. Now, 2 weeks ago, we talked about how peace on earth does not mean, in this age, peace among the nations, the peoples of the world. In fact, there'll continue to be hatred and wars and corruption and injustice in the world, as we can all testify to. Our responsibility is to receive God's peace inside of us and to share it with others. In the next age, however, upon the second return of Jesus, he will establish righteousness and peace and justice throughout the whole earth. In fact, it says that we as believers will actually reign with him during this time. And so that's going to be exciting. But for now, we need to know that the peace that God brings comes inside of our hearts. It's something deep within us. It's in our soul. John chapter 14. Jesus, just actually the night before he went to the cross, verse 14, verse 27, Jesus tells his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Because our hearts can easily be troubled. They can be fearful. But Jesus is saying, don't worry, because I'm going to leave you my peace. John 16, verse 33, he says it again. These things I've spoken to you, that in me, you know, earlier today we said, in Christ we are what? Más que ganadores, más que vencedores. We're more than conquerors, more than winners, you know. But also in him, in me, you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. But take courage. I like that. But take courage. I have overcome the world. And then in John 20, really the first words that Jesus speaks to his disciples, verse 19, he comes, he all of a sudden he's in there, and the first thing he says is, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both, his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." So Jesus' desire, his purpose for all of us, is that we have a peace down here. Now, last week, we took this a step further. We looked at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And we saw that really we receive his peace individually through the gift of justification. Now that's another word for the gift of eternal life, the gift of forgiveness of sins, having a right relationship with him, being born into his kingdom. That's all the gift of God, often called the gift of justification. Now this week, I want to remind us that just because we have received the peace of God when we receive the new birth, it doesn't mean that peace is going to stay upon us all the time. It should be, but it doesn't. So today we want to talk about how to maintain his peace throughout our journey here on earth, day by day and even hour by hour, because that's God's desire that peace that we receive stay within us. Now, I like to kind of think of this as there are peace thieves running around. Little thieves, in fact, sometimes, yeah, okay, that's right, and they are out trying to steal our peace. Sometimes they're very quiet. Sometimes they're very small. Sometimes it's, oh, I'm not worried about that. They're not going to hurt me. But maybe, but they will, because they're going to rob us of our peace. And that's their goal. They often run in packs, like cousins, working together, bringing us down to rob the peace of God from us. And I'd like for us to start with Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. And by the way, this little passage, we have it in our bathroom in our house. It's up there next to the mirror. And actually, it goes all the way back when we've probably had it taped up there in our mirror for probably, there's a picture of it, probably for 15, 16, 17 years. Hannah, when she was single and didn't have three children, she put it up there. And I like that passage. So anyway, there's a picture of it. But we'll kind of maybe get it a little bit more readable. So let's kind of go to the other verse and let's read it. So, as those who've been chosen of God, who's that? Have we been chosen of God? That's right. Okay, so it's talking about us. Holy and beloved, because that's the way God sees us, holy and beloved. He tells us to put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Then he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, verse 14 talks about putting on this, or this perfect bond of unity. And the unity that God gives us as believers is something precious. And by the way, it's something powerful too. And it happens as the peace of God resides upon us collectively. And it's not just the peace of God, but the anointing of God is there when we're walking together in unity. God's blessing is. Power in prayer is there. And what brings this unity? It says it very clear. Things like compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, not complaining against one another. These are powerful things that work together to keep the unity of the Spirit. Now, let me say this, because a lot of times when we talk about things like compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, being patient, we easily dismiss that as, well, that's just not the way I am. I've never been a patient person, or, you know, I'm just not very kind. I just say it the way it comes out, you know, or I'm just not very compassionate. Wait a minute. These are qualities of Jesus, and these are to be qualities of every disciple of Jesus. So if you're not naturally patient, which you probably aren't, realize that in Christ, it's different now. He wants us to walk in patience and in humility and in kindness and compassion. In fact, it's absolutely necessary that we do. These are powerful things. And really, these are the things that sort of form the heart of the principles of biblical church life or biblical community. And in fact, our next discipleship group book that will be starting in January, probably the middle of January. We're a little bit behind. It's going to be called Biblical Church Life. And we're going to be going over the principles of church life. And we have to have a commitment to these principles. We have to be steadfast in these principles for the peace of God and for the anointing of God and for the unity of God to be upon us. By the way, we should probably say this. Only those who've genuinely experienced the supernatural new birth in Christ can really practice things like compassion, patience, forgiving each other, bearing with one another, humility. It's impossible in ourselves. Now, I know there's some people who may be a little bit more compassionate and a little bit more patient, but we're talking about compassion like Jesus had and patience like Jesus had and forgiving like Jesus did. You might say, well, that's impossible. Well, yeah, but when Christ comes inside of us and we are born again into a new kingdom, it is possible. In fact, not only possible, it's the standard that God expects from us. Now, again, we can't do it in ourselves. So one of the things we have to do is to learn to walk in the Spirit and to walk in His strength. You know, this morning, you know, we said we those who waited on the Lord for what? His strength. We need that. We have to wait on. But this is His plan. Now, verse 14, it says, beyond all these things, put on love. Because really, all these other things are part of love, right? And it's talking about agape love. Because God, love brings all these qualities together. And when all these are working among us and within us individually, then the peace of God comes among us. Okay, verse 15. This is one verse I really want to focus on. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Literally, that word rule in the Greek is the same word that we get referee from. Now, we all know what a referee is, right? If we're at a ball game, someone commits a foul. What happens? The referee, he blows the whistle or throws the flag. You know, and we think, oh, no, I messed up. You know, or maybe in some cases, I got caught, you know, but that's the purpose of the referee, right? Well, the peace of God actually works like a referee in our hearts. Let me explain. The peace of God is precious. And it's so precious that many things can disrupt the peace of God and cause it to go away. A lack of compassion, harsh words, a personal grudge, resentment, pride toward others, impatience. Those are the peace thieves that want to come and try to take the peace of God away from us. But the peace of God is like a barometer. It's like a referee. It blows the whistle. So it works this way. If I'm kind of going through my day and I find myself being impatient with somebody, all of a sudden, that peace of God in my life, all of a sudden just doesn't, I feel like, wait a minute, it just went somewhere. It's not there like it's supposed to be. It's blowing the whistle on me. It's throwing a flag on me. Or if I'm sharp with someone or have a harsh word, what happens? The peace of God starts to disappear. And so it works like a referee. That's why, I mean, it's beautiful that it's, and probably when that word was even used, it probably wasn't even referees, you know. But it's the word that I guess probably there's the Greeks probably kind of used to kind of say that's the way it is, the peace of God. Okay, so if I move away from being compassionate, what happens? The referee blows his whistle. If I develop an unforgiving attitude towards someone, the peace of God goes away. If I'm not bearing with my brother and sister, maybe I'm kind of in my mind thinking, yeah, but you know, they're foolish, or they, you know, they're just insensitive, or they're, it doesn't matter what they did. If the peace of God's going from your life, your attitude is somehow not quite right. And I bet you everyone here has experienced that, where we are walking along, the peace of God, we're feeling, you know, His joy, and then all of a sudden, it doesn't seem to be there quite the way it was. And if we think back, we can think of probably, yeah, 5-10 minutes ago, I did this. I wasn't very bearing with someone, or I wasn't forgiving, or I saw that person and bitterness started kind of coming up in my heart. Those are peace thieves. Those are peace thieves. And they're trying to, the peace thieves want us to have a critical spirit. They want us to gossip about our brother or sister. They want us to be unforgiving. They want us to use our tongue to be sharp with others. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. So that no advantage will be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. You know what a scheme is, don't you? It's something that's kind of planned out. And here it says that Satan plans to kind of disrupt our lives. He has a force of, we don't know a lot about the spirit world. We do know that there's demons. And we do know that Satan and his kingdom has a whole bunch of schemes designed to bring us down. Sometimes it might be discouragement. I think that's one of his favorite schemes. Sometimes he gets us to try to reject biblical truth. God loves me. No, he doesn't. That's what Satan says. Sometimes just to try to get us distracted. But one of the biggest schemes is he tries to break the unity of the Spirit. Why? Because he knows that the unity of the Spirit brings blessing to us. It brings anointing. There's power in prayer. For where two or three are gathered together in my name and they are in agreement, there Jesus is. He says, pray that way. So Satan doesn't like that. So one of his favorite things is to try to get us to gossip. Try to get us to have a critical spirit against this brother or this sister. To get us to maintain a grudge against our brother. To cause suspicion between us. To get us offended. How many of us have ever been offended? We've probably been offended this week. And they're usually over little things. But even if they're big things, it doesn't really make any difference. Have we offended God? Yes. In our attitudes, our actions, our words. But did God forgive us? Of course He did. Even with the big things? Of course He did. And that's what He wants from His disciples, us. Envy, selfish ambition, pride. Satan tries to do anything to break down and get us to abandon the principles of biblical community or biblical church. Let us not be ignorant of His schemes. We have to keep that perfect bond of unity between us. And the peace of God works as a barometer or as a referee for us. It helps us see when all of a sudden we're committing a foul. Like, and a foul could be, I feel anger rising up in my heart right now, or I feel a critical spirit toward this sister or this brother. That's the peace of God. Now, another way to put it is our conscience. because the Bible talks about it. Another way it talks about it is walk in the Spirit, listen to the Spirit. So these are just different ways of saying the same thing. When there is no unity, or there's even a small break in our unity, the peace of God begins to disappear in our lives. Now, sometimes, if we allow our lives of constant bitterness and unforgiveness and impatience, we don't even hear the referee anymore. Because, well, the Bible calls that a defiled conscience. In other words, our conscience is not even, it's not even really working that much. If that's the case, what do we do? We repent and we start all over, and the peace of God comes back into our life immediately. Romans 16, verse 17 first. Romans 16, I've got it here, just a second here. Verse 17, it starts talking about, this is the end of the book of Romans. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you've learned, and turn away from them. Why? Because it's dangerous. And then in verse 19, it says, for the report of your obedience is reached to all, therefore I'm rejoicing with you. But I want you to be wise in what's good. I like that. And innocent in what is evil. And then verse 20, the God of peace shall soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. The peace of God is so powerful, it can crush Satan right under our feet. And that's why he doesn't like it in our lives. That's why he's going to get you to gossip or to be critical or to be offended, because he can't stand that peace because it crushes him. That's the word is there in Greek, is he just smashes him under our feet. That's how powerful the peace of God is that Jesus brings to us. And that's how precious, and that's why we need to keep it, you know, guarded. Philippians 4. Let's start in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. By the way, when the peace of God's in us, we can rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. Anxious for nothing? Is that possible? Yes, it is, if we have the peace of God. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Think about it. The peace of God, it surpasses all comprehension. We can't explain it. We can't understand it. We can't give it as a course. Okay, if you want to have the peace of God, why don't you kind of, I mean, if we could give it as a course, like 5 weeks or something, we'd have this place packed every hour just giving it, because people are looking for it. You can't scientifically understand peace, the peace of God, and it's so powerful that it serves to guard our minds and our hearts. It kind of, it's like that barometer, that referee. If we've got the peace of God, Christ in us, it guards our hearts and our minds. And when it starts to go, we know that something's not right. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, I like this. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. That word dwell means let your mind stay there. Dwell means like a dwelling place is where you live. This is where you're supposed to be living, thinking on these things. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute. It can't be, yeah, my brother and sister, my brother or my sister, they irritate me. It doesn't fall in this category, does it? If anything worthy of excellence, anything worthy of praise, that's what we should be dwelling on, thinking about. Now you might say, yeah, well, that eliminates a lot, doesn't it? It may be in some of our lives, but we need to, we've got to understand that these things will bring and keep the peace of God in our lives. And if we begin to slip, that old referee will blow his whistle, throw a flag. But we have to be listening. The referee knows when some peace thief is running around in our house trying to steal our peace. So we need to be watching, listening for that. And then verse 9. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. These are things that we need to have and we need to guard. Our minds, where they dwell in. And I like it, it says if we practice these things. Because we can't go away from here today thinking, oh, that was a good message. You know, I'm just going to have my minds kind of dwell on these things all the time. I can almost promise you within an hour, something's going to come up, you know. You could see someone, you get a phone call from someone, you know. And you know what? You have to practice these things, it says. And if you want to be a good musician, do you have to practice? Yes. I mean, I can't decide I want to play the piano like Daniel. You know, maybe I'll get up there and let's see what happens. It's not going to happen, is it? I have to practice and practice and practice. The problem is he keeps practicing too, so I'll never catch up with him. You know, how about sports? Football or any sport. Do you have to practice? You know, I mean, can you just go out there and be able to kick goals and be able to do the fancy footwork or throw the pass or catch an unbelievable pass without practicing? No, you've got to practice. And the same thing with where our mind dwells. We have to practice it. But we can't say, oh yeah, well next year I'm going to start practicing it. No, start today. And if you mess up, what happens? You can always go back to the Lord. And He forgives us immediately and starts us over. It's like a reset button. Okay, one more verse. Romans 8. Because this is really, really important. Maybe starting in verse 5. I don't think it's up here. It says, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death. It just kind of is yucky. But the mind set on the Spirit is what? Life. That's Zoe life. And peace. The peace of God which surpasses all comprehension. That is what God wants for us. So in conclusion, I know we've talked about a lot of things. Let's just kind of repeat it. We've got to watch out for those peace thieves. Because the kingdom of darkness is working to break down the unity among us and to steal our peace. That's why we have to put on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, forgiveness, while we love one another, forgive one another, because those things guard us. They bring the peace of God into our life. And so we're going to be steadfast in our commitment to these principles of biblical church life. We're going to let the peace of God rule or referee in our hearts. That means we're going to be listening. And when the peace of God begins to go away, we're going to see that as a check. We go before the Lord, and that peace comes right back. You know, we have to guard our hearts, and we have to guard our minds. The peace of God surpasses all comprehension. It's something supernatural. It's something precious. And we have to work to maintain that in our lives. And when we do, fear, anxiety, bitterness, wrong attitudes toward other people, they're not there. Also, it's important to know where we allow our minds to dwell. Now, we might not can help a passing thought as long as we kind of make sure it keeps passing. You know, if we kind of say, oh, that thought about my brother, why don't you kind of come inside and sit down for a while? Let's talk about it for a little bit. Let's kind of go over it. That is wrong. If it goes through, we just open the door and let him go right back out, okay? He's not invited. He's not welcome in our house, okay? And instead, whatever is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely, those are the things that we're going to practice dwelling on. And I think we also have to ask ourselves, has our conscience become defiled so much that we don't hear the peace of God blowing the whistle? If that's your case, if you feel like, I'm not so sure I hear that anymore. The good news is that you can go back to the Lord, and it's as simple as pushing a reset button. You know, here's how it works. We simply go to the Lord. We express our desire to live totally for Him. Lord, I want to live for You. I don't want to live for myself. We ask Him to forgive us. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for my impatience toward my brother, my lack of kindness. And then we ask the Lord, Lord, I thank You that You are always there to give me a fresh start. He loves that type of prayer. And we may go to the Lord 10 times a day with that. And will he reset us 10 times a day? Of course He will. And as we slip, we come back to the Lord, slip, come back to the Lord, His grace begins to fill our life, and we don't go back nearly as much. And we begin to start walking in the Spirit, and the peace of Christ begins to reside more and more in our lives. That's His plan for us. This is not way, like 25 years away for you. We can all experience God's peace on a continual basis. Yeah, I know we're going to mess up, but when we do, we get it right back. That's what He wants. Let's pray. And if you're here this morning and you need to push that reset button, let's just take that time right now. Lord, it seems so simple in Your Scriptures. You've given us this peace with that gift of justification, and You want us to maintain that peace. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You love us that much. And even when we mess up, You're there. Lord, teach us to live in Your peace and let Your peace be the referee in our lives. Lord, we ask that You would forgive us for all these maybe little things like being impatient or holding a grudge or allowing ourselves to be offended. Lord, forgive us for justifying ourselves. Well, we have a right to be offended. Of course we have a right in the world sense, but Lord, with You, You want us to live in that perfect bond of unity. You want us to live where that unity and that peace rules in our hearts. Lord, teach us these things. Lord, let us practice these things. And Lord, as we do, our lives will become more and more filled with Your peace. And in a world that's not full of Your peace, in a world where there's so much hatred and bitterness and resentment and rancor and just whatever, Lord, Lord, You want us to be a light in this dark world because we are carrying around the peace of God. Lord, it's not because anything we've done. Lord, it's what You've done, how You died at the cross for us. Lord, that's the message. Peace on earth, and we are the instruments, the vessels of Your peace. We want to live in Your peace continually. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.